This is the Vintage Truth Podcast with Jeff Kinley, reaching over 80 countries worldwide. It's time to go deep and grow strong. Now, here's Jeff.
Okay, you ready to go deep? That's what we're about to do here. In fact, we're going to launch out into the deep here in just a few minutes when we get into our text for today from the Gospel of Mark. I'm very excited about that. Hey, also, just wanted to say thank you again to those of you who are and have supported this ministry. I'm telling you, this is fuel. This is like rocket fuel, helping to launch what I'm doing right now into space, basically, and to help get the message of God's truth and of who Jesus is to the nations. And I want to thank you also just for praying for this ministry, because I've been doing just nonstop radio mainly for promotion for Aftershocks and helping get the word out that way. And I've done over 50 radio programs, and I can't remember all of the places that it's been broadcasted, but really all over the country. And if you haven't listened to Jan Markell's program, Olive Tree Ministries, Jan Markell, I was on her program. In fact, it released this morning. And go to that video on YouTube, because she's actually got some video clips as well that are really cool that kind of play into it. She actually plays my appearance on Fox and Friends. You can view that there. But anyway, all that to say is I think it might be the best interview I've ever given. And so it's an hour long, but I'm telling you, I don't listen to my interviews. I rarely ever listen to the interviews that I've done. But I listened to this one because Jan is such a great interviewer and she has a great program. So go to Jan Markell on YouTube and listen to that or watch that episode that I gave regarding Aftershocks. It'll be very, very informative. So anyway, just keep praying for me. I am still in the process of slowly putting together this studio and video. And really the only thing holding me back at the moment is the fact that I've been doing so much radio, and I'm also co-writing a new book that I'm under a really tight deadline. And also I'm revising one of my previous books and adding some more chapters to it for a release for next year. And that is due on June 1st. And so with that, and just having a life, I actually do have a life, and, I had to take my car to get the tires changed and just different things like that. I mean, I have a family and I love my families. So I love to spend time with them. So I'm not just always working, although it seems like I am sometimes. But anyway, all that to say is thank you for praying, and be patient. And if you haven't downloaded now the Vintage Truth app on your phone, it's a little blue, sky blue app there. It says VT on it. Go do that right now. And these podcasts are going to be there, and my future videos are going to be there, as well as many other things that I'm going to be rolling out here in the future. So thank you for your patience, and thank you so much for your support. And please share with the people, not only this podcast, but the app as well, because it'll be right there on your phone, easy access to everything that's going on. Okay, I want to hop into Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 4, because, and this is to me one of the most tender moments I think that Jesus ever shared with his disciples. There are many of them, and many of them are listed in the Gospels in such a way, the Gospel writers wrote them in such a way that really does kind of paint the picture. It really tugs at your heart. And this one in Mark chapter 4, I'm going to begin in verse 35, and we're going to see this scene. You're familiar with this this episode here. It says, on that day, when evening had come, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Now, wait a minute. On what day? Well, you have to go back to verse 1 to find out what that day was. Well, that day began with Jesus was teaching by the sea and the Sea of Galilee, and so many people came to hear him teach that he actually had to get in a boat and go like probably a few yards, maybe 30, 40 yards out from the shore, just so that he wouldn't be so crowded in that, people couldn't see him. And to be honest, it proved to be, if you've ever been on the water, this in a boat, it proved to be quite the technological advancement there, because the acoustics of speaking over water really does amplifies your voice. That's why you can hear someone talking across the lake when you're on another side of the lake, even though they're just having, you know, conversation. Anyway, he says he was teaching them, and he taught them all about the parable of the seed and the soils. And it was just an exhausting day. And so at the end of the day here, when it's evening, he gets in the boat, says, "Let's go on the other side." Now, something very unexpected is about to happen to Jesus and his disciples. It says in verse 36, "And leaving the multitude, they took him along with him, just as he was in the boat," because he had already been in the boat, "and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up." Now, think about that scene for a second. I've been on a boat in a storm before. I've been scared. But in this scenario, the water is getting in the boat. Now, it doesn't take a lot of smarts to know that if water keeps getting in your boat sinks. And if the boat sinks and you're in the middle of a storm, there's a pretty good chance you're going to drown and die. So the disciples, they respond accordingly. But Jesus, on the other hand, something else is totally going on with Jesus. It says in verse 38, "And he himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?'" Now you think, why in the world is Jesus able to sleep during a storm? Have you ever wondered that? Well, there's a simple physical reason. There's also, I think, a spiritual reason, but the physical reason is he was tired. I mean, haven't you ever come home from a day of work or after a long day, and it's like, you just say, "Well, let me just sit on the couch for just a minute," and the next thing you know, you wake up, it's 11 o'clock, and you've fallen asleep on the couch because you're just exhausted. You know, you're a mom taking care of kids, and though you love them to death, they drain every ounce of energy out of you. Or you're a person who's been meeting with people all day, maybe in your business or whatever, and you're just exhausted from all the energy that you've given, or you've been doing physical labor, you know, in your job or around the house or whatever. All that to say is when you exert energy, and by the way, there are few things that will suck the life out of you like public speaking. And during the times when I have spoken like back-to-back messages or gone all day at a conference or whatever, I mean, it is exhausting because your mind is really, it's firing on all the pistons. Your emotions are involved. It's almost like a fight or flight kind of thing, but you're really giving every part of you when you do that. And of course, Jesus was a dynamic speaker. He was a great communicator and he loved the people he was communicating with. So he's exerting a lot of physical energy. So number one, he's just tired. Number two, is that Christ has peace. Christ knows something that the disciples don't know, and he understands, I'm not going to die on this boat because I didn't come to earth to die on a boat. So he is asleep on the cushion, and yet their perspective is that he doesn't care about them. And have you ever done this? I have done this many, many times in my relationship with God. I've said to God, "Don't you care about me? I mean, do you care about me? Do you care about my ministry? Do you care that what I've sacrificed or what I've done in my life that I would never have done had it not been for my calling or my relationship with you?" Have you ever been in a situation or circumstance where you really doubted the care of God? And you know what? That is, I think, a natural human thing. It's not always a good thing, but I think it's an honest response sometimes that you just go, "God, if you care about me so much, then why is this happening to me? God, if you care about me so much, then why didn't this other thing happen to me or for me?" And, you know, when we began my ministry back in 1999, 2000, and we just launched out and into the deep with not knowing what was going to happen. And I had resigned from a mega church because I decided that I could do more ministry outside the church than I was currently able to have inside the church. And when I did that, I basically said, okay, God, Beverly and I are going to trust you every month for our income and for our livelihood. And we have three small children and here we go. And I could tell you literally the most miraculous, miraculous God stories about how God has provided for us over the past 21 or so years in this ministry. I mean, times when it just blows your mind. You're like, how did you do that? Okay, you're God. All right, I get it. But there are also times, there also have been times when back in the day, when I've gone to my post office box and desperately needed something, I needed a check, I needed help, I needed support, and there was nothing there, just cobwebs, you know? And walking back to my car, I would say, God, do you not care that I'm perishing? Do you not care about my family? Do you not care about this ministry? Do you not care about the word that you've told me to give to people? Don't you care? So I get that. I totally get that. You know, occasionally all of us are susceptible to that thing because guess what? We are disciples, just like these disciples guys were. And you know, to give them a little bit of credit, they're living this whole thing in real time. You know, they didn't get a chance to write the Gospels and then go back and then get perspective. They're living this thing. This is happening in real time for them. And plus, hello, they're being tossed on the sea and the rain and the mist is stinging them in the face and their personalities are all coming out, you know, and I'm sure there's people giving suggestions on what to do and people disagreeing with them. We don't have that in the text, but we do have the fact that they think Jesus doesn't care about them anymore. And we've all been there. We've all been there. And many, many more stories I could tell you about that. But anyway, let's move on. It says, verse 39, and being aroused, which, you know, they finally woke him up, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down and it became perfectly calm. You know, it's very interesting that the word choice in the New Testament that the gospel writers used. In Mark chapter 1, Mark uses this same word for hush in chapter 1 and verse 25. I want to just read to you what it is because it's pretty fascinating. And in this passage, he is rebuking a demon. And it says in verse 24, what have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him and said, be quiet and come out of him. Exact same word, be quiet, that he uses here when he says to the storm, hush. Let's put it in the vernacular. Jesus told that demon, shut up. Shut up. And he looked at the wind and he said, you shut up. And it did. It obeyed the creator of the universe. And it said it became perfectly calm. Now watch this. And Jesus said to his disciples, why are you so timid? Why are you so fearful? Why are you so afraid? How is it that you have no faith? Faith in me, God is saying. See, the storm was a pop quiz. The storm was there to test their faith. And they failed. They failed miserably. They got an F on the test because they failed to trust in God. The God who was already in their boat. The God whose presence was already with them. The God who had already told them earlier, let us go to the other side. That should have been enough evidence for them to know we're not going to die. He said we're going to make it to the other side. Now, how do we weather the storm may be one thing, but that we will die in the storm? No, because he said we're going to the other side. And it says they became very much afraid. Ah, so now they're afraid of something else, not the storm anymore because it's gone. Now they're afraid of the one who spoke to the storm. And they said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" See, Jesus has power over nature because he's God. And he wanted them to know even more so that he was God. From a human perspective, this was not a planned miracle like some of the miracles that Christ did. It was just something that happened in their day. And the range of emotions that crashed over them like the waves crashing over the boat there, I can imagine what they must have been experiencing. You've probably been there too. You've been times when your boat was in the ocean and these emotional waves are crashing over you because of the circumstances that you're going through. Listen, your circumstances do not determine your joy or your peace, but the God who is in control of your circumstances does. And someone wisely said this one time about God. Sometimes he calms the waves and the wind and the sea, and other times he just calms us. So there are times when God he'll deal with a circumstance. He'll make a way. That provision will come. That situation will change. Other times, the situation doesn't change. The wind and the wave, they're still howling. They're still crashing. But he calms us on the inside. And that's the peace that Philippians 4 talks about, the peace that is beyond all understanding, the peace that others look at us and go, "How do you do that? What's your secret? You should be falling apart right now. But you still got your stuff together. How do you do that? How do you weather this?" And it's not a grin and bear it. It's not a grit your teeth. It's not a "I'm going to pretend, have a happy outside" kind of thing. You can be in turmoil on the inside with intense pain, and yet you're calm. Even in the midst of the pain. Why? Because of who's in the boat with you. That's why. And my friend, I want you to know that never ends. That's a constant. You got that the second you got salvation. And Jesus said in the end of Matthew chapter 28, at the end of, I think it's verse 20, he says, "And I am with you to the end of the age." So even when the age ends, when time itself is over, just know I'll be walking with you. I'll be in your boat the entire time. You don't have to worry about that. So you never have to say, "God, don't leave me." Never have to pray that prayer. Because he's always with us. He'll never forsake us. And the one final observation I want to make about this passage is this. Would you notice that simply a word from Christ was what calmed the storm? A word from Christ calmed the storm. And I believe it's God's word today that calms our storm. God's word about prophecy in the future calms our storm. About fears of the future. We're about to have another grandchild born here next week, God willing. And I tell my kids, keep having babies. Keep growing your family as big as God wants you to, you know? Keep living your life. Keep enjoying the life that God has given to you. Because as Jesus said in Matthew 6, every day has enough trouble of its own. There's going to be trouble. It's going to come from many different places. But when Jesus is in your boat, all you need to do is to hear a word from him. And that's why the Bible is so important. Somebody once said, a Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to a person whose life is not. Isn't that cool? So the more you wear out your Bible, the stronger you're going to get. And you'll be like not the disciples there, but the disciples in who they became. Because eventually they all got it. They all got it. So much so that they dedicated the rest of their lives to living for him and for telling the world about who he is. Can you even conceive of a greater plan for your life that you would spend the rest of your life just serving the King of Kings until that time when either you go be with him through death or he comes back for you. Either way, whether it's smooth sailing or whether we're being tossed back and forth on the rough seas, we know we're not going to sink. Even though a little water gets in the boat, Christ is going to take us all the way to the other side where his Father's house awaits. I hope that gives you hope today. God bless, and I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth Podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.